Hier, wie zegt... Oh, thank you so much. I don't deserve it. It's from the deities, deity garland?
Kishore and Prabhupada.
Oh, yeah, it goes through this cycle. Maha, Maha, Prasada. Thank you. So we are going to sing one traditional song. Thank you so much, Guru. In the future, I don't really need water. It's okay. Yeah, you can ask that. Thank you so much. I don't really need it. Thank you so much, Guru. We're going to sing one traditional song that we always sing before Bhagavatam class called Jayarada Madhava. Are you familiar with this song? This song describes Sri Vrindavan Dham. Our ultimate goal is to be reinstated in our loving relationship with Krishna. And as we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always emphasized Vrindavan as our ultimate destination. Other Vaishnava sampradayas may have as their destination Vaikuntha, which is transcendental. It's entirely transcendental, spiritual, beyond the material influence. But even higher than Vaikuntha is Goloka Vrindavan, which is the specific goal for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So Prabhupada always sang the song before class, this Jai Radha Madhava, because it's an encapsulation of Vraj Lila. It describes in a nutshell what is going on in Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's a whole meditation actually on Vrindavan Lila. Sometimes Prabhupada went into a kind of ecstatic trance. He tried to restrain himself. The sahajis try to exhibit themselves as much as possible. A genuine Vaishnav tries to restrain external symptoms of ecstasy because it's the experience of ecstasy is an internal thing. Your relationship with Krishna, it's not to be cheaply flaunted. So genuine Vaishnavs, they don't flaunt external symptoms of ecstasy. They try to restrain them, but sometimes it's too intense. They cannot withhold. So on a few occasions when Prabhupada was chanting Jai Radha Madhava, he went into ecstatic trance and tears were pouring out of his eyes. He couldn't speak. He just couldn't even give the class. A couple of times he just said, chant Hare Krishna. That is, Krishna reciprocates with us. If you hear and chant offenselessly, then when you chant these names, Jai Radha Madhava, all this is all the highest Vrindavan Lila, you're associating with Krishna and Vrindavan to the extent that you're chanting this song offenselessly. That's the power of this, of all of the devotional songs we sing. It's an opportunity to associate with Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana valava girivardhari. Gopi jana valava girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Ya
Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrijadana Ranjana Yamrati Ravanachari Yamrati Ravanachari Yamunati Ravanachari. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanandi. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prithaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedant Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vratarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatatishatarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 6, text 17. Again, we have a wonderfully intricate Sanskrit composition, which I will try not to slaughter too badly. These very long ones don't fit the normal meter, so I have to kind of struggle a little bit. Do you know the Brahma Samhita meter for this? This is a very complicated, these really long ones, you know? Oh, I see. Okay.
Yasyam eva kavaya atmanam avirattam vivida riddhina sansara parito paptot Pyamanam anusvanam svanapayantastaptayaiva paraya nivritya hyapavargam atyantikam parama purushartam api svayam asaditam na evadrityante bhagavadi yatvena parishamatva sarvartaha yasyam eva. In which Krishna consciousness or the nectar of devotional service, Kavaya, the advancement of learned scholars or philosophers in spiritual life, Atmanam, the self, Aviratam, constantly, Vividha, various, Vrijina, full of sins, Sansara, in material existence, Paritapa, from miserable conditions, Upatapyamanam, suffering, Anusavanam, without stopping, Snapayanta, bathing, taya, by that, eva, certainly, paraya, great, nirvritya, with happiness. He certainly apavargam, liberation, atyantikam, uninterrupted, paramapurusha artam, the best of all human achievements, api, although, svayam, itself, asaditam, obtained, no, not, eva, certainly, adriyante, endeavor to achieve, bhagavadiyatvena eva, because of a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parisamapta sarva artha. Those who have ended all kinds of material desires. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Devotees always bathe themselves in devotional service in order to be relieved from the various tribulations of material existence. By doing this, the devotees enjoy supreme bliss, and liberation personified comes to serve them. Nonetheless, they do not accept that service, even if it is offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. For the devotees, liberation, mukti, is very unimportant, because having attained the Lord's transcendental loving service, they have attained everything desirable and have transcended all material desires. Srila Prabhupada's purport, devotional service unto the Lord is the highest attainment for anyone desiring liberation from the tribulations of material existence. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, yam labdva tvaram labhyam manyate nadikam tata. Gaining this, one thinks there is no greater gain. When one attains the service of the Lord, which is non-different from the Lord, one does not desire anything material. Mukti means relief from material existence. Bilva Mangala Thakur says, Mukti Mukalitanjali Sevate Sman. For a devotee, mukti is not a very great achievement. Mukti means being situated in one's constitutional position. The constitutional position of every living being is that of the Lord's servant. Therefore, when a living entity is engaged in the Lord's loving service, he has already attained mukti. Consequently, a devotee does not aspire for mukti, even if it is offered by the Supreme Lord Himself. Om Ajnanativirandasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So this is one of those nectar verses. Srimad Bhagavatam is informing us that the transcendental position of being reinstated, it's called Svarupena Vyavastiti, earlier in the Bhagavatam, second canto, that term is used. Svarupena Vyavastiti. Stiti means situation. It's even similar to the word situation, stiti. The English actually comes from Sanskrit. So words like Sanskrit, param, in English, paramount. The English word paramount, everyone has heard of this, like paramount in English? That comes from param, from Sanskrit. English is a barbaric language, but still it is related. All Indo-European languages actually come from Sanskrit. Latin is very close, Latin and Greek and Russian. Russian is really close, which makes sense geographically, because as the Kshatriyas, the deviant Kshatriyas, were driven out of India. We don't believe in the Aryan invasion. We believe it. We know it went the other direction. Lord Parashuram had to deal with deviant Kshatriyas, which he did in an exemplary fashion. So those Kshatriyas who didn't want to follow Brahmins were kicked out of India, basically. Bharatavarsha, India actually, Bharatavarsha was
the entire planet. Up until the time of Maharaj Janamejaya, the son of Maharaj Parikit, the entire earth planet was under one rulership. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, for example, was the emperor of the entire earth planet, or Maharaj Parikit, or Maharaj Ambarish, all these great classical kings. They were rulers of the entire earth planet. But there were outlying regions, like North America and South America and Europe are considered regions for barbarians. Outlying regions. Those who didn't want to follow Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is very strict because it aims at purification, self-realization, and reinstatement in our original constitutional position of devotional service to Krishna. So therefore, classical Vedic culture involves very strict formulations. There are no homeless bums just hanging around on the street begging for unemployed. What do you mean unemployed? You know what you're supposed to do. You're a kshatriya, you do this. You're a brahmin, you do this. Everyone knows what they're supposed to do. But it was not envious in the properly, the daivi varnashram. Daivi means transcendental. The whole goal is to get out of the material world. You're not this body. But we're so attached to this body, we can't immediately give up our attachments. The first class man, the Paramahansa, he thinks, I'm not this body, why should I engage in material activities? They're foreign to me, they're not me. There's a difference. I'm spirit soul and this rest of the stuff is not me. That's first class, but most people can't do that. And Vedic culture is so merciful, Krishna never says, you're hopeless, go to hell. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's very interesting. There are a series of fallback positions Krishna gives. Everyone has studied this. It's very important. First thing Krishna says is, be absorbed in the ecstasy of loving devotion to me. Just fix your mind on me. That's a major theme of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavama bhakto majiji mam namaskru. Those two lines are so important. They're repeated twice in 9:34 and 18:65, Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavama bhakto. Become my devotee. Manmana, put your mind on me. Manas means mind. Manmana, put your mind on me. Bhavamad bhakto. Become my devotee. That's repeated again and again, that theme, and it's directly stated in 9:34, those two lines, and again in 18:65. Always think of me. That's the major theme. But what if you can't do that? Arjuna says it's more difficult than controlling the wind. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Chanchala. Flickering. Unsteady. What to do? Demon mind. Wants everything but Krishna. During japa period, it will hear about anything happily except for Krishna. Why not Krishna? No, I don't want Krishna. I want to be Krishna. So this is the difficulty. This sadhana bhakti is simple in principle. Fix your mind on Krishna. What's the difficulty? The difficulty is the mind is a demon. That's the difficulty. We want Krishna. It wants everything else. So there has to be some tension, some struggle, because it wants the opposite of what you want. So there's some push. Krishna also says in the Gita, from wherever the mind wanders due to its unsteady nature, you must certainly bring it back under the control of the self. If you don't do that, you're never going to realize the self. Because the mind wants to go everywhere else. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, he makes it easy by giving a higher taste. When you start to chant, it's difficult, but then if you persist, like at the first 6 or 7 rounds, maybe a little struggle in the morning during japa, just to get into hearing nicely the mantra, but after you get through that austerity, then the sweet nectar, juicy taste of the holy name begins to manifest within our consciousness. That's everything is like this in devotional service. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 37, Krishna says, that which in the beginning is like poison, but in the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization is happiness in the mode of goodness. So Krishna is directly stating there that there will have to be some struggle in the beginning. There will have to be some austerity. That which in the beginning is like poisonous is. Yad tad agre visham eva. Yad tad. That which agre means in the beginning. Visha means poison. Yad tad agre visham eva. Eva means like. That which is like poison in the agre in the beginning. So Krishna directly says it. It's going to be a little tough. No pain, no gain. Even the Westerners, you know, an athlete. Actually, what we're like Olympic athletes. We're going for the gold. The highest position is to be reinstated in loving service to Krishna. So an Olympic athlete, they're very strict. They measure out every gram of carbohydrate, every gram of protein. They measure out the B vitamins. They measure their sleep. They're very, very regulated. They're like yogis. Of course, they're going for the wrong goal. But if you want anything in this material, you have to become regulated. You have to become disciplined. There is no advancement in any sphere, either material or spiritual, without regulated execution of disciplinary action. Why? Because the mind is whimsical, lazy, and stupid. Even when it doesn't want to do anything regulated. If you want to study physics at the university, that's what I was studying. It's hard work, or pre-med. The pre-meds go, they have to work like asses. It's anything you want to do in this material. As soon as you have acquired a material, I've been awarded a material body. Gee, thanks. I've been awarded, Prabhupada says, okay, you've been awarded a material body. You have to struggle. You have to struggle. Now, if you're intelligent, you'll think, let me struggle for that which, if I achieve, no more struggle in the future. If you struggle for a material goal, you'll have to then, once you get that goal, which provides transient gratification, you'll have to struggle hard for the next material goal, and then struggle hard for the next and next. There's no end. In bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, if you do it right, then from then on, it's all nectar. There's no more struggle. Once you've converted the material mind, buddhi and ahankara, back into the original spiritual mind, buddhi and spiritual intelligence and spiritual identity, there's no more struggle. You're just floating in nectar. It says right here that we're bathed in the nectar. This is what Shukadeva Goswami is saying. There's at least 20% of the verses in Bhagavatam are talking about nectar and ecstasy. It's a major theme in Vaishnava theology. It's getting the nectar, getting the mercy. Param Dristva Nivartite, Bhagavad Gita chapter 259. So then there's some technology involved, some techniques, how to get the nectar. Everything is based on techniques. If you want to learn physics, if you want to learn martial arts, if you want to be a marathon, there's techniques. You have to control the mind and senses. Techniques. That's the whole name of the game. So techniques in bhakti, the most important technique is to beg for the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. That's topmost technique. Is to beg, humbly beg. First we come for Mangalarti. Well, the first thing we do is we offer obeisances. Actually, we come in the temple room a few minutes before that. First thing we do is offer obeisance to our spiritual master and to Prabhupada. That's the very first thing you do after you take a shower in the morning. Begging for the mercy. We're not independently powerful personalities for any goal. And then the curtains open. What are the first thing you do when the curtains open? Obeisances. Dandavat obeisances. Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Prema Vadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. It's nice to chant a prayer, actually, as you're offering. In Vaishnavism, every physical action is accompanied by a mantra or a prayer. In deity worship, of course, and everything, actually. Because the mind has to be fixed. The body is offering obeisances in the mind. So in front of Gaur Nitai's altar, you can chant Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Prema Vadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Trishe Namaha. Pradayate, he's ready to give Krishna prema. The very thing we're sweating, praying, begging, he's ready to give it. So here's the perfect person to beg it from, because that's what he came to give. Nityananda is even more merciful than Gauranga. Lord Chaitanya traveled on his South Indian tour with one devotee named Kal Krishna Das. And he fell into Maya. He was with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He allowed himself to fall victim to the Bhattaharis, some gypsies, nomadic gypsies who had women to attract, to increase their numbers, to recruit their new bhaktas. Their bhakta program involved stealing poor brahmacharis who are hanging around by getting these beautiful girls, attractive girls to come. So they stole away Lord Chaitanya's servant. It's in Madhyalila chapter 9. It's a long chapter. It's Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour. So they were so audacious, so impudent, that here's this beautiful golden sannyasi. Everyone, all the good people would offer obeisances seeing Lord Chaitanya. They'd start crying in love of God. Anyone who wasn't a demon fell in love with Lord Chaitanya as soon as he saw. So these Bhattaharis, they were very sinful actually, low class. They practiced demonic tantric arts to control people's minds. They were like demonic tantric low class personalities. So they stole away his servant, Kala Krishnadas. Lord Chaitanya came to rescue his servant. And Lord Chaitanya was so humble. He said, I'm a renounced, you're sort of renounced also. Let's be friends. You're living in the forest, you're kind of renounced, and I'm a sannyasi, so we're all basically renunciates. We live in a simple, humble life. Why do you steal my servant? You have so many others. And the Bhattaharis came with sharp swords and daggers to cut Lord Chaitanya into pieces. This is all in Madhura chapter 9. I'm not inventing. In Vaishnavism, speculation is worse than poison. Anyone seated on this seat has to speak only what the previous acharyas have spoken. So this is all what I'm saying as a pastime from Madhura chapter 9. And actually, you can challenge a speaker in Bhagavatam class. Anything he says has to be supported from Shastra. So what I'm telling you now is from Madhura chapter 9, a beautiful chapter, amazing chapter. So they took out these swords and daggers. They were going to attack the Supreme Personality of God. That's really bad. Really bad. So what happened? Does anyone know what happened? Anyone know the pastime? What happened? Yes. What happened, it says there in Madhya 9, is the weapons came out of their hands mystically. It was an entirely mystical performance. I don't recall that they were fighting amongst each other, to be honest. I just recall what I read there. The knives came out of their hands and started cutting their own bodies into pieces. Lord Chaitanya didn't have to do anything. He's so inconceivable. He simply, by his desire, the Lord's power is so infinite that his desire alone makes things happen. His will is so intimately associated with the fundamental nature of existence that simply his willing is enough to perform activities. If we just sit here willing, nothing's going to happen. We can sit here all day. Nothing's going to happen. That's because I'm jiva. There's a big gulf. There's a huge gulf between jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva. Actually, the Shaktivesh avatar is sort of a bridge between Jiva and Vishnu, because the Shaktivesh avatar is a Jiva who's so empowered he can do things on the level of Vishnu because he's a pure devotee. If you're a pure devotee, the Lord loves to empower you. So there is some option for bridging the gulf between Jiva and Vishnu, which is ordinarily unbridgeable gulf. That's Shaktivesh. Avesh means investment, Shakti means energy. That soul who is so pure by his devotion that the Lord feels comfortable. He's not going to misuse my Shakti, so the Lord invests his Shakti. We consider Prabhupada a Shaktivesh avatar. Some of Prabhupada's godbrothers were non-envious. Right after Prabhupada left his body, November 14th, 1977, the devotees headed by Dravida Prabhu told me this. I joined in 82, and I associated with many Prabhupada disciples, so they told me many stories. So Dravida went to Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, who was a non-envious soul, respected Prabhupada a lot. They went to see him, and Sridhar Maharaj said, your Guru Maharaj, he's not only a pure Vaishnav, a Shuddha Bhakta, he's Shaktivesh avatar. No one else could spread. To spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, you have to be empowered. Because he quoted, Sridhar Maharaj quoted Antulila, chapter 7, text 11, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. That's it. Krishna Shakti Vina. Vina means without. Without being empowered with Krishna Shakti, and only Krishna is giving, only Lord Chaitanya is giving Krishna Shakti. You can't get it at the Kmart. You can't get it at Walmart. Krishna Shakti is the exclusive property of Srimati Radharani and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not given out to unqualified persons. We cannot even begin to understand Prabhupada's qualification. Sometimes devotees came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, who are you in the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, this you do not need to know. That was too intimate. Prabhupada never, to my knowledge, he never admitted who he was. The great acharyas, maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakur may have admitted, or occasionally, but it's not, the devotees don't flaunt their position in Krishna Leela if they happen to be in an intimate associate of the Lord. And we know Prabhupada was an intimate. All of our particular lineage is very exalted. They're all coming from intimate, they're part of Krishna's intimate entourage in Sri Vrindavan Dham. But no real devotee wants to show off his position. The sahajiyas are eager, whatever little thing they have, they want to show it off. The real Vaishnavas, they don't show off because they want Krishna to be shown off. In the 70s, there were so many gurus and they started movements. They always had their own name in their movement, like it was Muktananda's, movement or Yogi Bhajan's. But Prabhupada called his movement International Society for Krishna Consciousness. His name, he never wanted to have his own name glorified. He always wanted, it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So after these weapons fell out of the hands of the Bhattaharis and they sliced up a bunch, the rest ran away. Lord Chaitanya grabbed his servant by the hair, rescued his servant, took him back with him, all the way back to Jagannath Puri. Then when he got there, he announced all the devotees, I don't want to see this man anymore. He may go anywhere else. I don't want to have anything to do with him. He was rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Nityananda engaged him in a seva to go to Navadvip and inform Mother Sati of the good news. And the other devotees, Advaita Acharya, the Navadvip devotees, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from his lengthy 2 years tour of South India. This was great news. All the devotees were dying from separation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I can't bear the separation. I was a Mayavada. You turned me into a devotee and now you're going on your South India tour. How will I tolerate the separation? Marshpataprudha said, by any trick, keep him here. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I tried all my tricks. It didn't work. He's the Supreme Lord. He's Svatantra. That means independent. Svatantra. He's Svatantra Ishvara. He's the supreme controller. I can't keep him here. He had to go to South India to liberate it, to unleash his full potencies. It's described by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in the holy city of Navadvip, because there were so many puffed up scholars and logicians, Nyayikas and Bhattacharyas and Chakravarti, they have big titles like professor, so-and-so. It's just like the same Professor Leela kind of stuff. Big puffed up scholars. So Lord Chaitanya did not unleash his full potencies. He had his private kirtans in the house of Srivas. But Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says he unleashed his full potencies in South India and overflooded the whole place with love of God. Left and right, people, even Shaivites, followers of Shiva, he turned them into devotees. He turned the devotees of other sampradayas, Ramanujacharya's sampradaya, into devotees, worshippers of Radha and Krishna. There were so many other groups there that he turned into. He turned who were those followers of Madhvacharya? The Tattvavadis, thank you very much. He transformed the Tattvavadis also in philosophical discussion. And seeing his ecstasies in kirtan, everyone just became his devotee. He was inconceivable what Lord Chaitanya did in South India. Inconceivable, the South Indian Leela. Actually, right in the beginning of his South Indian tour, as he was beginning, he came to one place where there was a Brahmin named Kurma. He was a Grihastha. And Kurma Brahmin, he fell in love with Lord Chaitanya. He said, let me give up this family Leela, this family past. I shouldn't say Leela, that's for Krishna and his pure devotee. Let me give up this family occupational duty, this Grihastha ashram. I want to come with you and follow you and serve you. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you stay here. You'll get my association by preaching in this town. Stay here with your family. If the family is not averse to Krishna consciousness, just be a good Grihastha. Use your home for preaching Krishna consciousness. So Kurma was mortified. He couldn't, how can I tolerate separation? See, we can understand how potent Lord Chaitanya's preaching was by the fact that no one could tolerate separation. They'd do anything. They'd beg, they'd borrow, they'd steal, they'd do anything to go with Lord Chaitanya. But sometimes Lord Chaitanya was very firm. He said, no, you stay. You cannot come. And there was another Brahmin there. He was a pure devotee, but he was suffering from leprosy. His name was Vasudev, the leper Brahmin, Vasudev. And he he was so pure, he was actually a pure-hearted, pure devotee of the Lord, but somehow or other he had this body full of worms, it says. But he was so kind, he considered his body to be the appointed food for the worm, so when one worm fell from his body, he picked the worm up and put it back in the same place, thinking, this body I have is meant for other living entities. King Yudhisthira in Mahabharata, he said, the real, a genuine human being, he thinks, my body is meant to be used in service to other living entities. So this is my prescribed situation. Leprosy and everything else comes from the Supreme Godhead. I'm suffering from leprosy, so I can do some save at least. The body is abominable, but it's not totally useless. I can feed these worms. So he, whenever a worm would fall out of it, on the ground, he would pick it up and put it back in his body. He was so kind-hearted. He was so magnanimous. He was a real Vaishnav. He met Lord Chaitanya. Actually, he missed Lord Chaitanya. Here's what happened. He heard about Lord Chaitanya because he was a friend of Kurma Brahman, and he rushed to meet him, but Lord Chaitanya had just left a few minutes earlier. So when Vasudev, the leper Brahman, appeared at the house of Kurma, and he said, where is Lord Chaitanya? And Kurma said, he just left. I tried to go with him. He just left. And Vasudev, he thought, I just missed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He comes once every 8.6 billion years and I missed him by 5 minutes. Who could be? I'm condemned. I'm abominable. I'm useless. My only hope was to see the Supreme Lord in his most magnanimous feature, Mahavadanya. So he fainted, he collapsed on the ground. That he had leprosy was not a big problem for him. It would have been a big problem for a materialist. That would be a horrible thing. When you get cancer, when they get cancer, they freak out. How can God do this to me? There cannot be any God. If God exists, why would he punish me like this? That's the materialist thinking. So he wasn't mortified due to the horrendous suffering of having leprosy. It's a horrible disease. Your body's rotting, your fingers rot off. Your nose rots off. It's disgusting. You can't associate with people. You have to live apart from people. Anyone else would have been lamenting. He didn't lament about it. He lamented that he missed God, that he missed seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he fell on the ground unconscious in lamentation. And Lord Chaitanya, the all-merciful Supreme Lord, situated in everyone's heart as a supersoul, understood the heart of his pure devotee. He came back to see this leper Brahman that he was laying on the ground crying. He picked him up. He embraced him. Vasudeva said, how can you touch me? Oh Lord, all the pus and blood is smearing on your transcendental form. Why are you doing this? Lord Chaitanya exhibited, Lord Chaitanya generally did not do magical things, but occasionally he did some magic. He transformed this leper Brahman's body into a beautiful golden form. As beautiful as molten gold, tapta kanchana. Just like Lord Chaitanya's own form. And Vasudev, he was struck with wonder. What has happened? I've suffered my whole life, now I have this beautiful body. Then he prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, I will become proud. This is actually very dangerous for me. I'm a materialistic person with a giant false ego. How will I defend myself from the onslaught of false pride? Lord Chaitanya said, you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly, Nirantara, Mantra Lao. Take this name, Nirantara, without stopping. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When your cup is full of nectar, there's no room for poison. If your heart is full of Krishna Bhakti, there's no room for Maya, headed by false pride. So you go on chanting this mantra, and you give Krishna consciousness that the only thing he wanted this leper Brahmin to do in return for the wonderful benediction that he had received, the only thing he asked in return is, you preach, you go out and give this mercy to others. Everyone is suffering, whether they have leprosy or not. Everyone is suffering in this material world. Give them the mercy of Krishna, the knowledge of Krishna. So then he had a beautiful golden body, and then Lord Chaitanya left. And Kurma was just embracing, Kurma and Vasudev, these two pure devotee Brahmins, they were embracing each other and they would stay together and glorify Lord Chaitanya. They would speak about Lord Chaitanya and glorify him and preach together, and they changed their village into devotees. Everything becomes wonderful when you add Lord Chaitanya to your life. Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. Krishna makes conditions. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. You surrender, then I give the mercy. Lord Chaitanya didn't ask anyone to surrender. He just gave the mercy. He's namo mahavaranaya. He doesn't, because people are too stupid in the age of Kali to come looking for bhakti yoga. They're too dumb to surrender. If anyone with, if you have three functional brain cells, you realize I got to surrender to God. But they have three brain cells. That's even beyond the most, the capacity of most people. In previous ages, when you get a human body, you get brain is standard equipment. But in Kali, you have to order it. It's optional equipment, like with a car, you know, you better order the standard transmission and the superior. The brain is optional equipment in the age of Kali. If you forget to order a brain, you don't have any brain. In this age of Kali, I've had to spend 30 years preaching universally. You have to prove the existence of God, that which was obvious in previous yugas. Obviously there's a God. Where is everything coming from? In Kali Yuga, no, everyone is so stupid. You have to prove these, you have to analyze the bonding angles of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen to prove that this arrangement is not fortuitous. It's not accidental. You have to work. But this is glorious. This is devotional service. Prabhupada told us to do it. So these two Brahmins, Kurma and Vasudeva, they would embrace each other, they would cry, they would talk about Lord Chaitanya, they would remember Lord Chaitanya, they would carry out the mission of the Lord. Two things you have to do, work for the mission and hear and chant about the Lord. Both have to be there. If you just work hard for the mission of the Lord but no hearing and chanting, you become materialistic. You forget why you're working. Why am I doing all this stuff? Because no hearing and chanting. And if you try to go the other route, you go all hearing and chanting. Sometimes the devotees want to artificially imitate the great Rupa Goswami or Haridas Thakur. That also we cannot do. We don't have the adhikar. Adhikar means qualification. That qualification you get by working for the preaching mission. You have to do both things. The Prabhupada said, ISKCON sandwich. In the morning and evening, you should just hear and chant. And it's very important, because if you go to sleep at night without hearing and chanting and reading pastimes, the mind is agitated. You have lusty dreams. When you wake up in the morning, you feel dull and uninspired, so it's hard for you to begin the morning program. So you're cycling down. Then the morning program is bad, you get no taste, so you overeat for breakfast, you oversleep, you sleep 3 hours, you get up, you can't do any service, so no service, no taste, you don't go to the evening program because you have no taste. Then you start thinking about sex life. You know, pretty soon you're out the door. You give Maya a centimeter and she takes a kilometer. You can't play around with Maya. She's too strong. Your only defense, Prabhupada said, is this regulated sadhana bhakti, and which means in the morning and evening you should just hear and chant. You can have a piece of paper, and if you have to write, just jot down a note. Okay, I need to call so-and-so, or I need to do something the next day. But don't allow your mind to be absorbed in thinking of the types of service you need to do in the morning program or the evening program, because you need that purification and inspiration that comes from concentrated chanting and hearing, which is to be done in the morning and evening. Prabhupada said that, ISKCON sandwich. And then in the day you should work fully, intensely, from after breakfast till the evening. You should work very hard for the mission of the spiritual master, given by the temple authorities. There's a system Prabhupada established. The temple president is actually the representative of the guru. We don't see our Guru Maharaj very often. The temple president is actually the representative of the spiritual master. How powerful a position, how exalted that position, how careful the temple president must be to give you the correct services. He cannot be whimsical. He himself must be an advanced devotee, because he's giving out devotion. He's engaging people in devotional service. That's requires very careful application. So when the temple president is qualified, then you should view him as the representative of the spiritual master, and the spiritual master is representative of God. So the temple president is the representative of God. Following the seva given by the temple president, plus the regulated morning and program, hearing and chanting, that is like serving Krishna. That's how Krishna comes to you. Krishna will not come to you directly. We're not qualified. Again, adhikar. Krishna comes to us through temple authorities, through senior Vaishnavas, through spiritual master. So it's our very important business to respect senior Vaishnavas, temple authorities, and of course the spiritual master. And we don't see the spiritual master. So really you're dealing with temple authorities and temple present. That's really our connection with God. This is very important. If we think we can approach Krishna directly, or even just deal with our own spiritual master directly, that's wrong mentality. In the spiritual world, there's no loners. There's a teamwork. It's a team. You're a team player. Even in the highest situation, in Sri Vrindavan Dham and Sri Rati Radharani's Vraj Leela, the very highest thing, there's yutas and yuteshvaris. Rupa Goswami describes this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the different rasas. But there's a whole next book called Ujjvala Neelamani. It's the sequel. You may notice, if you're attentive, that in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the four rasas, the Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsaya, are described in great detail, but not so much about Madhurya. Although our line is actually aiming at Madhurya. So this, an attentive, intelligent person will think, why did Rupa Goswami not say very much? The reason why is there's a whole book. It's so important, he reserved a whole second book. The sequel to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is called Ujjvala Neelamani. Ujjvala means effulgent. It's the effulgent ras, the Madhurya ras. In this book, it describes in great detail what's going on in Srimati Radharani's camp. There's the left-wing gopis, the right-wing gopis, Chandravali, Srimati Radharani, Ananga Mandri, Srimati Radharani's sister, the Yutas, the Yuteshvaris. Yuta means the group, Yuteshvari, Ishvari means female, group leader. So my point is, even in this highest existence, Vrajdham is the highest thing of all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always meditating on Vrajdham. All of our acharyas, all of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, that's the goal. But the adhikar must be there to reach there. And even what happens when you get there, you're going to be servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. There's only a few personalities who are directly serving Krishna. Srimati Radharani is directly serving Krishna. Even Lalita, the Ashtasakis, Lalita, Vishaka, Champaklata, Tunga Vidya, Bhadra. No, sorry, not Bhadra. Let's see if we can get these Ashtasakis. There's Lalita, Vishaka, Tungavidya, Sudevi, Rangadevi, Induleka, Champaklata. I think I mentioned her already. Champaklata. So we failed. This, we have to study up. Anyway, these are so... you cannot imagine the level of devotion of Lalita. She's so inconceivable. Or Vishaka. Still, they don't serve Krishna directly unless Srimati Radharani authorized. They serve her. And then who are serving? Then they have a bunch of the Manjaris. Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari. He's serving Lalita. And Lalita's serving Srimati Radharani. So my basic point is, if you have a loner mentality that you want to do it, you're on your own thing, it's not going to work. From the lowest, from the new bhakti position, as you, when you first join the temple, all the way up to Vraj Leela and everywhere in between, you're going to be servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Das, das, anudas. Lord Chaitanya said it again and again. Naham vipro. Naham sannyasi. He said, I'm not... He was chanting in front of Lord Jagannath in Madhurya chapter 13. Naham vipro. I'm not a vipra. He was born in a vipra. He was the son of Jagannath Mishra, a great Brahmin. He had all Brahminical, he had a photographic memory. He was the best of Brahmins. He said, I'm not a Brahmin. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a this, I'm not a that. What I am servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Gopi Bhartur, the master of the gopis, Krishna. I'm das, 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 anudas. And that's the position. That is, and he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So if we think we can have some independent program, We're not studying the Shastras. We're not learning. We have to study and analyze the situation. And if you think like this, your spiritual life will become very easy and very happy. If you think, I want to serve the other devotees in the temple. I think these devotees are super. I think they're, even they may, of course we're not perfect. It's sadhana bhakti. But they've come to surrender. This is how Lord Chaitanya wants us to think. We shouldn't find faults. If you find faults with the other devotee, that's very displeasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw two of his brahmacharis quarreling, he brought them together and he sat them down. He said, you glorify this other. I want you to, for 2 hours, I'm going to sit here. All three of us are going to sit here. You're going to glorify that brahmacharya. This is your austerity because you insulted him. This is the remedy, Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Bhagavat. With the same mouth with which you drank the poison of insulting the Vaishnava, you now find that Vaishnava and you glorify him. You drink the nectar to counteract the poison of your offensive nindaka. Nindaka means to blaspheme. Vaishnava nindaka. So that you, if with that poisonous mentality, you counteract it with the nectar of glorifying that Vaishnava. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he forced them, and then after 2 hours, he told the other brahmachari, now you, for 2 hours, you glorify him. You think of all the good qualities he has. And if you can't find any, you're a nonsense. He must have good qualities. He's trying to surrender to Krishna. Of course he's not perfect. But just the fact that he wants to surrender to Krishna makes him very, a genuine sadhaka is worshipable. We should offer obeisances. Rupa Goswami says, anyone who has taken up sadhana bhakti seriously, especially those who have gotten diksha, you should offer obeisances to that person. We address all other Vaishnavas as Prabhu, mechanically. It's not mechanical. Prabhu means master. See how dangerous this mechanical application of sadhana bhakti is. You have to put your heart into it. You have to study and analyze. You're addressing as Prabhu. That means master. We have to counteract. By these methods, we counteract our tendency of false ego to think ourselves superior to others. Every fool in the material world is thinking he's better than everybody else. We have to counteract that. So our vision should be, and you'll be very, very ecstatic. If you want to be ecstatic in Krishna consciousness starting right now, look at every other devotee in the temple and meditate on their good qualities. This devotee is trying so hard to render service. He goes on book distribution. It's so difficult for him. I know it's not his tendency. He wants Krishna's mercy so much he surrenders to that. This devotee is going on the altar all the time. So many difficulties involved in that. Even he didn't feel like going someday. That one Mataji was off the altar, so they called him. And he didn't complain. He surrendered. Just see his good qualities. See how this devotee is trying to chant his rounds so attentively. See how this devotee has forgiven me for all my nonsense transgressions. Just start thinking like this. You'll become totally ecstatic. This is the fastest way to become ecstatic, is to glorify other devotees. And then read the Shastra about Lord Chaitanya's associates. Then it's easy to glorify. They have superhuman qualities, superhuman abilities. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had a photographic memory. He was a Naishtika Brahmachari, never passed semen one time in his life. Who can imagine the power? When he was 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. We've been 7 years or 17 years, and we don't even know 10% of the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed for a ray of Vishnu, and then he got this exalted Bimala Prasad, that was his name. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born, he had a Brahman thread draped around his. He had the umbilical cord at the time of his birth was draped around his shoulder like a Brahman thread. And Jagannath Rath Yatra was coming by, and Lord Jagannath stopped. For 3 days he wouldn't move until Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought out Bimala Prasad. And spontaneously the garland from Lord Jagannath fell down. These are magical things. The Lord arranges magical things to show who his pure devotees are. So if you study the lives, all the acharyas are inconceivable persons. Gorkashordas Babati Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye in his pranam mantra. Sakshad Vairagya. He would live on mud from the Ganga. He would chant all day and night, constantly. And when he was a little hungry, he would take some mud from the Ganga or soak some rice in a skull and eat that. Sakshad Vairagya. He's so elevated, he's so exalted, he was experiencing Radha and Krishna Leela with every Hare Krishna mantra he's chanting. He chants in Shuddha Nam. He's seeing the pastimes of Raj Leela. He's so renounced. These are superhuman persons. These are all Nichasiddhas in our line. There's no sadhakas. They're all coming from Vraj Leela. They're all pure devotees. They're so, we should meditate on these pure devotees. It's so ecstatic to think about, to glorify pure devotees, beginning with the temple devotees, then beginning with your spiritual master, and then the great paramahansas of Gaura Leela. You read about these devotees, it's so inspiring. This is our great inspiration. Narottam Das Thakur. Lord Chaitanya deposited his own prema in the river Padma and instructed the river, when Narottam comes, you deliver my ecstatic love. Because he was the next generation after Lord Chaitanya left, after the six Goswamis. So Narottam bathed in the Padma River. He became mad with ecstatic love of God. He was jumping. He was dark before that. His skin changed to golden color. He looked just like Lord Chaitanya. He was mad with divine love. He went to Sri Vrindavan Dham, was trained by Jiva Goswami, along with Srinivasa Acharya and Shamananda, the first traveling Sankirtan team. They took the books of the six Goswamis. Jiva Goswami was a genius. He wrote 400,000 verses. Bhagavatam is only, 18,000 verses. 20 times the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how much transcendental literature Jiva Goswami compiled. He was actually a genius. His sandarbhas are analytical. They're analysis of the philosophy and theology of bhakti yoga to such an extent that it's a masterful presentation. Prabhupada interwove his purports with the great teachings of Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. These are all wonderful persons. You cannot imagine how exalted. These devotees are so advanced. When they chant Hare Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan appears. All the pastimes of Krishna are playing in like spiritual television within their heart. That's how exalted these persons are. So we should glorify the other devotees in the temple. We should serve the other devotees. We should serve the mission of the spiritual master. We're not qualified immediately to go to the highest level. We have to develop our adhikar by rendering service. And then as you render service over the years, then you'll become attracted to Sri Vrindavan Dham naturally. It will awaken in your heart. That's the fruit of working for Lord Chaitanya's mission. Narottam Das Thakur explains that the fruit of serving Gauranga and glorifying Gauranga and his associates is you get entrance into Sri Vrindavan Dham. Otherwise, we don't have the adhikar, the qualification. To enter into Vrindavan Dham, you have to be completely free from all material desires. Completely free of all material desires. And Lord Chaitanya is the one who purifies us. And Lord Chaitanya wants us to preach. Lord Chaitanya has so much compassion, he wants to deliver others. So by delivering others, you're getting the qualification to enter into Sri Vrindavan Dham. Otherwise, we don't have the adhikar. This word is very important, adhikar, qualification. We don't have the qualification. The qualification is acquired gradually. If anyone who's been practicing for decades, seriously, doing this everyday mangalartik, this regulated sadhana that Prabhupada gave, plus preaching, going out distributing books and preaching, as the decades go by, you'll notice your heart becomes attracted. First, you get a strong taste for Gaura Leela, and from meditating and hearing and chanting about Gaura Leela for decades, then attraction for Vrindavan Leela awakens in your heart. Lord Chaitanya explains this actually to Sanatana Goswami in Madhyala chapter 20. Madhyala chapter 19 is Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Rupa Goswami. Madhyala chapter 20, and actually 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, actually is a long series, 5 chapters, is instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And in that chapter, Lord Chaitanya explains you start out by working for the mission, just as I said, and gradually you'll become attracted to one of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, like Rakshak or Patrak or Stoka Krishna or Nanda Maharaj. You cannot become Nanda Maharaj. That's as offensive as trying to become Krishna. You cannot become Lalita or Vishakha, but you will become attracted naturally, without, you shouldn't, it's not that you're making an artificial endeavor. You just go on serving Prabhupada's mission. I have personal experience. When I first joined 30 years ago, I had no taste for Gaura Leela. I was given the name Madhavendra Puridas, so I went home and I read. In Madhya Leela chapter 4 is a whole description of Madhavendra Puri's service to Krishna, his Leela. He was very inconceivable, actually. But when I first read the Leela, I said, I can't relate to this. How did I get this name? What am I going to do? I'm more attracted to Battle of Kurukshetra. To Bhagavad Gita. That's good, actually. This is natural. In the beginning, we should be attracted to Bhagavad Gita. We should study the Gita left and right, up and down. The Gita has so many important verses. The practical application, how to extricate your mind and senses from the onslaught of the three modes of material nature. That's what the whole Bhagavad Gita is all about. So we should study that. That's correct. It was actually correct that I had no taste for Gaur-lila. It's not a cheap thing. What to speak of Raj-lila? That comes from decades. After 20 years of working, 10 years ago I began to get big taste for Gaur-lila. And then gradually Vrindavan-lila. It's a natural, like a baby has a natural propensity to crawl and then walk. But if the baby tries to run, to be a marathon runner right off the bat, it's going to be a mess. You're going to fall and you're going to get your nose bloody and all that stuff. So trying to go artificially to a position we're not qualified for, that's a dangerous situation in bhakti yoga. And how do you know what you're qualified for? It awakens in your heart. It awakens in your heart. In the beginning, you have to serve the spiritual master. By the mercy of Krishna, you get the spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, you get Krishna. So Krishna sees you're sincere. He directs you to a bona fide spiritual master. Then the focus is to serve the spiritual master's instructions. You don't see the guru very often. So the life and soul of the sadhaka is the instructions of the guru. So what does the guru instruct? Mangalarti, 16 rounds in front of Tulsi. Guru Puja, Srimad Bhagavatam class. Working for the mission during the day. We have to go out and preach. Without preaching, there's no taste for anything in Krishna consciousness. If you're not a direct preacher, you're a servant of a preacher. The cooks and pujaris, they're serving the preachers. They're also part of the preaching mission. They get the mercy also. Backup crew. The frontline fighters and the backup. And they should alternate, actually. In a healthy situation, the pujaris go out and distribute books, and the book distributors also do some puja. It's a natural system. And so if you do this exactly as Prabhupada said, you don't have to speculate. Prabhupada gave in infinite detail. If you do these things, you will become strongly attracted. First to reading Bhagavatam. The first 10 years, I just read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Nectar of devotion, nectar instruction. That's all I did for the first, over and over and over again. I read Bhagavatam like 10 times. Then after doing that, I got some taste for Krishna book. And not the Vrindavan part. I more like to hear how Krishna cut Shishupal to pieces with a chakra. That's natural. How are you going to be? And then after a long time, then I got attraction for Gaur-lila. And then finally Vrindavan-lila, Vraj-lila. It took 30 years. It's a natural. And you don't force it artificially. It grows naturally. How do you know? Your heart becomes attracted. First, my heart was attracted to Arjuna and Krishna on Battle of Kurukshetra. Then the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. We should know the Bhagavatam like the back of our hand. We should know the sixth canto. What's in the sixth canto? Chitraketu, Ajamil. We should know these things. And Daksha. Daksha went off and did austerity. He lost his head earlier, literally. No, I shouldn't. We have to be very respectful. Daksha's a great personality. Please forgive. He offended Lord Shiva, and then the head of a goat was put on. And after that, of course, that's a great insult, so he gave it up. He went to the Vindhya Mountains and did austerity. So that's in the sixth canto. We should know each canto. Fifth canto, Judd Bharat and Lord Rishabhdev. And the fifth canto, description of the planetary situations. Fourth canto, Paranjana, the pastimes of Paranjana. Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. We should know these. This is very important. We cannot, there's no question of getting to Vraj Leela. Without first knowing first Bhagavad Gita, then Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Isha Upanishad, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then ultimately Vrindavan Lila. That's the destination. To be sure, that's the goal. But the goal cannot be reached artificially. It has to be reached systematically. As I was saying earlier, everything is techniques. If you want to be a martial artist, there's techniques. If you want to be a marathon runner, there's techniques. In bhakti yoga, there are techniques. This is the last time you have to do. If you do it right, once you're actually genuinely attracted to Vraj Leela, you have nothing else. You're beyond the three modes. You're absorbed. You've reached the goal. There's no more struggle. Because spontaneously, your mind is thinking of the pastimes of the Lord. You have to struggle now. If you do the struggle right, then you reach a stage of complete spiritual ecstasy and satisfaction. Svaipum samparo dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksaje ahoitaki apriti yata yayatma su prasidati. Su and pra are amplifiers. Su prasidati means totally blissed out, totally satisfied. Yayatma, how will the atma become su prasidati? By following the principles of sadhana bhakti. And it's a natural, do it properly, do it naturally. Don't try to jump beyond what you can do. Otherwise you'll fall and break your nose. You'll suffer. And what is, you'll know what you're attracted to. It's right in the beginning. I was attracted to Kurukshetra and Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. And I studied Bhagavad Gita. We should know the Gita and the Bhagavatam extremely well. We should know them extremely well. There's so many important verses in Bhagavad Gita. And when you do this properly, how do you know you're doing things properly? You feel enlivened. Krishna says in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, susukam kartam. It's the execution is susukam. It's full of happiness. Even for the neophyte stage. If you're doing things properly. If you're not happy in Krishna consciousness, you're doing things wrong. You should ask a senior devotee, what am I doing wrong? Let's sit down and analyze. What am I not doing properly? Then we can figure out, we can tailor make a program. Of course, Prabhupada already gave it, but within the structure of Prabhupada's instructions, we can find the things that will help you to overcome whatever difficulties you're having. If you're not feeling susukam, that means your kartam or your execution is improper. Because bhakti yoga is full of happiness. The soul is full, the soul is satchidananda, the soul is full of happiness, naturally. The materialists are unhappy. If you're unhappy, you're a materialist, whether you're wearing a dhoti or not. Krishna consciousness means happiness, even from the very beginning, and it just gets better and better. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or corrections from those who are more advanced,
more senior and advanced Vaishnavas?
I shouldn't actually speak in front of more advanced devotees. I should have asked permission. This is actually the etiquette. Before giving a class, if there's someone more senior, one should actually ask permission from a senior Vaishnava, especially Prabhupada disciple. You are a bona fide... Of course you're humble. That's a real Vaishnava is humble. Or even someone maybe not has been practicing for as many years, but who's been practicing more expertly, someone more expert in all the angas, the nava angas, the nine limbs of bhakti, someone who's obvious by his qualities is in advance. We should be humble. The essence of bhakti yoga is humility.
Point of Sajatiya Ashaya, the like-minded association. So I always ask this question over and over and over again. So although Sangha of devotees is so important, then we hear this point about like-minded association. A simple example may be like book distributors might get more juice for associating with other book distributors. Although they like all the devotees, but they get more inspiration and juice from associating with other book distributors and so on. So like-minded association. So I was wondering, maybe hear your realizations on that principle. And also, after you maybe speak on that principle, within our society of devotees, we live with a lot of devotees where we may not have the same like-mindedness, maybe the same type of attraction to Krishna. And yet we have to exist together in service to Krishna. So maybe you can speak on these kind of two elements, how to do that effectively.
As sadhakas, we're not reinstated in our original rasa with Krishna yet. That's still dormant. As I'm describing, it's awakened after decades gradually, your rasa with Krishna. So if we think, oh, I'm a cowherd boy and he's a gopi, so it's not going to work out, or he's attracted to... Or even another way, like he's attracted to Kurukshetra Leela, but I really prefer some other Leela, Lord Chaitanya's South Indian. That's actually a misconception, because at our stage we should be attracted to all the introductory pastimes that Prabhupada has given in his books. We should relish Gaur Leela, we should relish Ram Leela, we should relish Kurukshetra Leela. We should really, at our position, we're actually all like-minded. And we even shouldn't categorize ourselves, I'm a book distributor, I'm not of this. The healthy mentality is I'm a servant of the servant of the servant, and we're all like that. And sometimes I go on the altar and do deity service, sometimes we go on book distribution, sometimes we go on harem. It's better to have a cohesive team attitude. And you see, in the beginning, the great acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur say that our attraction to Krishna is general. It's not specified. We can't say, I only want to hear about Nanda Maharaj. I know that I'm in Vatsalya Ras. I'm an associate of Nanda Maharaj. You cannot know that until you're free from material desires. And basically speaking, none of us are free from material desires. So we cannot know original rasa with Krishna. And Prabhupada was very displeased when devotees tried to focus exclusively on one aspect of bhakti yoga or leelas. Prabhupada was displeased with that. So at our stage, we should really be thinking, let me be the servant of the other devotees. Let us all serve together. Sometimes we go on the altar, sometimes we go on book distribution. You should be well-rounded. One should learn how to cook, one should learn how to worship the deities. All of these things are given for our purification. If someone only wants to be a book distributor, that's a sign of something wrong, actually. That's a puffed up mentality. If one is not willing to do other services in the temple, one should have a well-rounded approach. Now, after many years, like after 30 or 40 years, one may need to, and there's a needed service like science, he may have to focus on that because he's already done all the other services for so many years. He's already done that. He's been well-rounded in that approach. But for most devotees who are relatively new, I think that's what most of us are in that situation. We should eagerly embrace the good purification that comes from all the services. From washing pots, there's a kind of purification that you don't get from book distribution. And from book distribution, you get a kind of purification, forcing yourself to approach materialists that you don't get if you just do temple service. So really, you should do both. A healthy spiritual attitude is, let's make this temple a grand success by doing everything, whatever it takes, to make a beautiful family mood attractive. So whenever someone should walk in that door and never want to leave. It should be so sweet. The loving exchanges between temple devotees should be so sweet that someone who walks in the door should say, this is where I want to be. I'm tired of dog-eat-dog. Literally, it's a dog-eat-dog world. There is no love outside of Vaishnava interactions. There is no love in the material. That's that simple. It's always selfish. Even the most selfless kind of love, like a mother to a son, there's still some selfish interest. He's part of my body, so they're materialist. That body comes from my body. We're in the bodily concept of life. And that's the best you're going to get in the material world, is the motherly love, love of mother for a son. The rest is all hellish, exploitative. I get as much out of you before you get as much out of me. I squeeze you squeeze me, and we beat each other up, and the strongest guy wins. That's why they like this Darwin's survival of the fittest. It fits in perfectly with their mentality. But that's not the spiritual. That's why you came to this world, because you want to be like that. But this temple is not the material. This is an embassy. When the temple is functioning according to Prabhupada's instruction, it is not the material world. It is entirely the spiritual world. And we can make it like that by our loving dealings with the voice. Let me serve you, Prabhu. The word Prabhu, Master. Let me serve you. Let me help you. Let's work together. You're having some difficulties? Reveal your mind. Let's talk about it. Let's do it. Let's do it right. Let's make this thing work together. So I'm concerned with that concept. Really what that means, like-minded association, is everyone. Every other sadhaka. And if you happen to be so advanced, here, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, again in this series of long chapters in Madhya Leela, from 20 to 25, Lord Chaitanya directly says, if you happen to be already so advanced that you've awakened your rasa with Krishna, you don't show it. That's internal. Externally, you go to Mangalartik, you chant your rounds, you go to Tulsi Puja, you go to Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada said, don't be a better Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. I'm coming. Prabhupada came and listened to his disciples. Who's more advanced than Prabhupada? He wrote a letter to all the temples. It was 1974, the famous Paramahansa letter. Don't be a better Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. I'm coming to Bhagavatam class or Bhagavad Gita class. I'm listening to my disciples. I'm relishing them. In other words, it has to be this mood, this team mood. Otherwise, Kishore is not going to send the people. Out of a million, 5 million people in Chicago, there's got to be a couple hundred people who are going to become devotees. Kishore is not going to send them here if we don't have the right loving attitude and strict. You should be hard on yourself and lenient with others. Materialists are just the opposite. Hard on yourself, strict sadhana. I'm going to go to Mangalartik every day because I need it. It's for my purification. If I'm not purified, I can't love my God brothers and God sisters. I have to become purified. So strict on yourself, lenient with others. Oh, he didn't come to Mangalartik because he was feeling a little sick. It's okay, can I help you? Not that you're nonsense because you didn't come to Mangalartik. In other words, you're strict on yourself, lenient with the others. He didn't come because he had to go to the airport and pick up someone last night. He didn't get back till late. In other words, instead of fault finding, find the faults in here and do the glorification out there. Be helpful. He was sick, he couldn't make it to Mangalartik. Can I get you some Brahmastra juice, Prabhu? Can I get you some fruits? How can I help you feel better? If we have this mood, this temple is gonna flourish. So like-minded means everyone, to be honest. And if you don't have this mood of trying to be a sadhaka and developing love of God, then you shouldn't live in the temple. Living in the temple automatically means we're like-minded. You can't be here unless you want to follow the four regs. It's a very serious thing. It's a very intense thing. This program, full surrender to temple authorities. Living in the temple means full surrender to sadhana program and full surrender to temple authorities who are giving you seva. You can't refuse seva. If you're living in the temple, you can't say, sorry, I don't feel like doing it. Now, you may be sick. That's another thing. You can, for 1 or 2 days, that's okay. But you can't say, I'm sorry, I don't feel like doing it. You know, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So like-minded means everybody here. Is that okay?
Prue, I'm still trying to formulate my questions. I don't want to take up too much time with unnecessary words, but two questions are kind of in my head. One of them, you were explaining the process of devotional service, one of the regulative principles, I think the first regulative principles is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. So I was wondering if you could share some realizations on, for a sadhaka who, because you know in our movement, like you say, we don't see the guru all the time, but for some people that may be an important aspect of their devotional service. So how do we go about ascertaining what I need, you know?
Yes, so Prabhupada is actually the great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, gives the stages. Adau Shraddha. Adau means the beginning. The first is faith. Before you get initiated, you can't be initiated unless you're going to follow those vows your whole life. Otherwise, you make big aparads. So really, yes, initiation is like the first step for someone who's fully committed. But the very first step is Adau Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. So you come to the Sunday feast. You walk in the door and you see the loving dealings with toys. Wow, this is sweet. That kirtan is really rocking. Okay, I want to be here. That's Adau Shraddha. So you move in the temple. And then Bhajana Kriya, you start carrying out the activities because you're living in the temple. You come to Mangalartik and you start chanting and you follow the regular principles and you feel, this is so wonderful. I want to do this my whole life. And after a few months, you feel, I can follow the four regular principles my whole life. I'm ready to surrender. Because taking diksha from a guru means you're actually surrendering your whole life to serving God. It's not a whimsical thing. It's a very serious step. It's a very powerful step. If you do it and you get initiated, after I got initiated, it was so much easier to chant. The chanting became much more alive in my heart. Chanting your rounds, kirtan, attraction for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning after I got initiated. You become fixed. Initiation is meant to make you fixed, but you have to be ready to maintain your vows, otherwise it's offensive. It's a big apparat if you break your vows whimsically. Occasional fall down can be tolerated due to the power of Maya. So, Adau Shraddha, then you're associating with the Sadhu Sangha. Sorry, it's Adau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, associating with sadhus. And then diksha, actually. To do bhajana kriya, you have to be initiated. Sorry, I got a little bit mixed up. But the basic scenario is you move in the temple and you start associating with devotees. And then at some stage, you feel you're ready for initiation. So then you listen to lectures, because the present spiritual masters are traveling all over the world. And even in Prabhupada's time, the devotees didn't see Prabhupada personally very much. They would listen to lectures. So you begin listening to lectures, and you become attracted to one particular spiritual master. And then you ask him for diksha. Actually, you ask your temple president if he feels you're ready for diksha, and if so, he gives a recommendation. And then you get initiated, and then it's powerful. Once you're initiated, it's much easier to chant. It's much easier to fend off material desires. Material desires become weaker, and attraction for Krishna becomes much stronger by initiation. Everyone who's serious should immediately make arrangements to get initiated. Making arrangements means you go to the temple president, you ask him, Prabhu, do you think I'm ready to be initiated? Because he's been watching you, he knows, for the few months or year that you've been in the temple. So he says, yes, you're serious enough. He may ask you, can you follow the four regs your whole life? Do you feel you can follow these? Are you really comfortable with the four regs? Will you be able to chant 16 rounds? Because he's a vow. A vow is a serious thing in front of the deities. If you break the vow, you suffer. The guru suffers and you also suffer. I've known devotees who, those who break the vows, they suffer. The guru, it suffers because he's so merciful, he's trying to take you back to Godhead. So you don't want to make him suffer, you don't want to suffer. It's a mess. Basically, it's a big mess if you can't follow your vows. So take a little longer, make sure you can follow them comfortably. And if you can, immediately get initiated. Beg, borrow, or steal as soon as you can, because it's powerful. And second initiation is powerful. The Gayatri mantra is powerful. Gayatri gradually grows on you. In the beginning, it's a little tough. It's a silent mantra. But after a while, it's like nectar, especially the last two lines. That's Vrindavan. You're in Vrindavan. If you chant those last two lines of Gayatri properly, you feel like you're in Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna. Those last, especially the very last. Lord Chaitanya says about the Kama Gayatri, the last of the seven mantras, it's non-different from Krishna. So we're entering the house of bhakti. It's the most wonderful thing. Take every step appropriate. If you're not initiated, you should really, if you're not initiated and you can follow the four eggs, you're serious about committing your heart. Initiation means full commitment. If you're not ready to fully commit to seva for the rest of your life, to 16 rounds, four eggs, and seva, under the authority of, under temple authorities, you're supposed to be serving for the rest of your life. If you're not ready to do that, then don't take diksha. But if you are, take diksha as soon as you can, because it's helpful. It's like a boost. You're getting lifted by the acharyas. The supermen of spirituality are reaching down and lifting you. As we mentioned, bhakti is, sadhana bhakti is performed by grace, by mercy. It's not by our own power. So they're ready to give. Diksha is a wonderful thing. If you're serious, get diksha as quickly as you can. And if you had diksha but didn't realize what it's all about, better get serious now. Serious means during the morning program you're concentrating on the mantras. The mind doesn't go on. You have to learn the art of being totally focused on what you're doing at every moment. When we're singing the mantras, we're singing Sakshad Hari Tvenasamasta Shastra. You should hang on every word. This is very powerful. Sakshad, directly. Hari. He's direct. It's like Hari walks in the room. You're not going to say, sorry, I'm busy. Can you come back later? No, if the guru walks, it's just like God is appearing. Sakshad Hari Tvenasamasta Shastra. All the shastras. Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadvi. All the sadhus. Every word is powerful. Whatever Prabhupada gave us in the morning program, which is to be said, recited over and over again, is obviously very potent. Otherwise, why would Prabhupada give it to us? It's very potent. The Jai Radha Madhava. Each word in this song is powerful. Yashoda Nandana, Vraja Jana Ranjana. Ranjana means delight or pleasure. Vraja Jana. Jana means people. Krishna is Vraja Jana Ranjana. He's the delight of the residents of Vraj. That song alone, this Jai Radha Madhava, Prabhupada said this is a window into the spiritual world. This song alone, if you just concentrate on this song alone, you feel totally uplifted. This song is incredible, it's inconceivable. Prabhupada never tried to exhibit ecstasies. He always tried to restrain them, but occasionally he couldn't restrain it. There were a couple of times when Prabhupada chanted Jai Radhamada, tears were streaming out of his eyes. He couldn't speak, he couldn't even give the class. He just said, chant Hare Krishna, and he left the room after chanting Jai Radhamadava. In Atlanta in 1975, there was a huge Sankirtan Darshan. Triparari Maharaj was there with all the book distributors. And Sarup Damodar Maharaj was there with the BI devotees. It was like a huge, in Atlanta in 1975, a huge darshan. And Prabhupada chanted Jai Radhamadava, and he couldn't speak. He was just overwhelmed. The sahajis, they try to cheaply exhibit whatever little thing they have in bhakti. But the real devotees, they try to restrain it. But sometimes it's so intense. When Prabhupada saw hundreds of persons who two, three years ago were materialists, and now they're fired up, sold out. Sankirtan devotees of Nithananda, wild men of Nithananda. How much his heart was pleased after struggling his whole life. Krishna reciprocated. He gave him hundreds of serious, like Triparari Maharaj was so dedicated, or Panchatattva Puru, or Pragosh, the book, they were unbelievable. They'd go to O'Hare Airport, get beat up by the police, and go back the next day and distribute. Krishna had reciprocated with Prabhupada to such a degree that he couldn't restrain his ecstasy. And particularly in Jai Radha Madhava, this is, Prabhupada was extremely fond of the song, composed by the great Thakur Bhaktivinod. When Bhaktivinod Thakur talks about Vraj Leela, it's not that he asks somebody else, he's part of Vraj Leela. He's one of the associates of Srimati Radharani in Vraj Leela. So we don't understand how exalted that this morning program that we're given, and in Tulsi Puja we're singing, Sakir Anugat E Nivedanadara Sakir Anugata Koro. Anugata means follower. Make me a Saki. What is this? It's so exalted. How can we even dream of what it means to be a Saki, an associate of Radharani? But by circumambulating Tulsi, every day you're singing this song, you're becoming an associate of Radharani. After 30 years of singing this song, you start to feel attraction for, like you're part of the Vraj Leela. This is an internal thing that happens to the sadhaka. As Lord Chaitanya explains in Siksha to Sanatana Goswami, and as any serious ISKCON devotee who's been at it for decades, the attraction for Vraj Dham awakens in the heart. This Tulsi Puja is so powerful, you don't understand what you're singing. Radha Krishna Seva Pava. Pava means to obtain. We should really know all the words. We should study this morning program. Or in every class I'll give, actually, this is overtime, but normally I'll reserve a few minutes to go through these words. Dravida did that in San Diego. I was trained up by Dravida in San Diego. I joined in San Diego in 82. Dravida is amazing. I guess everyone knows Dravida Peru. So he's shlok personified. He's shlok acharya. When he walks in the room, it's like shloka personified has appeared. It's powerful. This is how you keep your mind absorbed in Krishna. There's no time for Maya. You can't fall in Maya if you're always thinking of Krishna. Maya only comes when you're not trying to think of Krishna. So we're singing Radha Krishna Seva Pavo. Pavo means to obtain. We want to obtain the service of Radha and Krishna, not Obama. We're not going to become the servant of Obama or any materialistic person. We want to become the servant of, and not even Lakshmi Narayan. Our lineage is Radha Krishna worship. Radha Krishna Seva Pavo, A Abhilas. A means this, Abhilas means desire. My desire is to obtain the service of Radha and Krishna. Ye Tomara, Tomara means yours. Ye, anyone who, Tomara Sharanaloy, anyone who takes shelter of you, Tara Vancha Purna Hoy, his desires become full. Purna means full, like Purnim. Just by worshipping Tulsi, your desires become fulfilled. Prabhupada said in Antalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 3, text 100, purport, everyone should chant in front of Tulsi Devi. It's much more powerful. Chant your rounds in front of Tulsi Devi. She came here to rescue you. Why does she have a body of a plant? She's a pure devotee of Vrindavan. She's an expansion of Vrinda Devi. She's a gopi. Vrinda Devi is the gopi who coordinates Krishna's leelas. Vrindadevi arranges the seasons, the flowers, the the environment of Vrindavan. That's Vrindavan is named after Vrinda, Vrindadeva, Vrindavan. Vana means forest. Vrindavana. She's Tulsi is coming to give mercy. See, all of these things are facilities for advancing. So the morning program means you should concentrate on every word. Then you feel purified. At the end of the morning program, if you feel tired and dull, like you want to go to sleep, you blew it. You didn't attend. Your body attended the morning program, but your mind did not attend the morning program. If you attend the morning program properly, you feel totally enlivened. You feel like bursting with energy. I want to go out and give this wonderful thing I experienced to others. Evening program also. We should attend evening program. Morning and evening program. Then you get, you're charged up. Your spiritual battery is fully charged. I'm sorry, I got a little carried away. Did I answer the question? I guess we should stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki.